بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. The second most important battle in the life of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم that was fought, a major battle against the kuffar of Makkah Mukarramah in the Quraysh, was the Battle of Uhud. Battle of Badr was fought in the second year after the Hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Uhud was fought in the third year after the Hijrah in the migration of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Uhud actually is the name of a mountain. It's to the north of Medina Tayyiba. It's 7.5 kilometer range. 3,553 feet is the highest point on the mountain. It was a very special mountain of Medina Tayyiba. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned that Uhud, generally when we speak sometimes we err in the pronunciation according to Arabic. The correct pronunciation is Uhud. Generally people say we begin Uhad. But Uhud, according to Arabic, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Uhud, Jabalun yuhibbuna wa nuhibbu. It's a mountain that loves us, and we reciprocate that love of the mountain also. We also love it, this mountain of Uhud. So this is a literal love, not figurative, literal. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before the minbar was constructed, there was a piece of wood that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to recline and take support upon. When that was removed and the minbar wooden structure was brought in, then that piece of wood and the trunk was tearing and crying. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam hugged it. He says, it's okay. Riwayat comes in Bukhari Sharif. The actual member, or rather the piece of wood, was tearing like a baby would tear. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam pacified it and spoke to it. Then it stopped crying. So similar is Uhud. That imagine a mountain which is so hard, yet it loves Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us tawfiq, that our hard hearts even are cracked open with the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, insha'Allah. So the Battle of Badr was really a dent in the image of the kuffar of Makkah Mukarramah. It was a very fatal blow to the economy, to a lot of aspects in the life of the kuffar of Makkah Mukarramah. Remember, the coastal route via Medina Tayyiba was the trade route to Sham. Now this is already in danger. Why? The Muslims have an upper hand and they have information of what's happening on that route very close. As it is, it was just like a scrape away that Abu Sufyan managed to get away from the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and come with his with the trade caravan. And that trade caravan had 50,000 golden coins investment, which was a lot of money as we had spoken. And generally in those days, the profit margin would be 100%. So the profit would be an equal 50,000 golden coins, which is a huge sum of money. Abu Sufyan comes with his caravan, battle is lost in Badr. He comes to Makkah Mukarramah, and he is in Darul Nadwa, the house of the delegates and the important chieftains would meet over here in this area. Nothing has been distributed. Some come with a proposal and they say, Abu Sufyan, it's in the back of our mind that we don't distribute the profits of this caravan. So he says, what do we do with it? He says that the capital will be repaid to the investors, but the profits, the proceeds of this now will be used to up our game, to maybe invest in the army. We have more artillery, we have more weapons. Now we strategize better, we increase our army, we go with a bigger army, and we equip ourselves to the teeth against the Muslims. Very good idea, let's do that. So now it is the 5th of Shawwal, and the kuffar are ready, leaving Makkah Mukarramah with an army of 3,000 strong men. From them, 3,000 camels, 200 horses, 700 men fully clad, armored to the teeth, head to toe. And they had taken with them 15 women to spur them on by singing couplets. And generally, and it's natural, it's a fitra, it's normal disposition of men. You know, you play a normal game. Have a lady watching you. Now suddenly the power comes in your shots. Old man got backhand all of a sudden. What happened? And the woman also, now you know, we have to be careful now. So now they also took women. Why? Now if the women are there, it just gives them a different vigor now in that war. Because this woman, and now you can't be a woman by running away from the war. Because there's woman watching you. You need to show your muscle and flex your, you know, your abilities. So they took 15 women with them. Abbas radiallahu anhu, as we had preferred the view, secretly embraced the deen of Islam and he was a captive in Badr, but holds the secret. He comes to Makkah Mukarrama. He quickly writes a letter and he tells the person, within 3 days this letter needs to reach Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. 5th of Shawwal, it was a Saturday, the army dispatches, they leave. The letter is sent by Abbas radiallahu anhu to Nabi Sam, informing him of the developments of the kuffar, that they are coming for a second round to retaliate. They want to avenge this loss of theirs. So the letter reaches Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam while he's in Quba. Nabi Sam gives it to Ubay, Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu, Ubay, read it for me. So Ubay ibn Ka'b reads, and he explains the contents of the letter to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, please hold the secret. Be very tight-lipped about this. I don't want to spread panic amongst the people. If we're going to tell them who, how much, and when, listen, they're going to get gabrats. It's going to be worry, mayhem amongst the people. Let's take it easy. It's okay. Now that's a lesson for every one of us, key, important for us. Certain things are not for certain people. And even if it is for the person, how do you divulge your information? You heard, you were at the hospital, the doctor was with you and he's your friend and he says, hey, Molana, you know so and so passed away, make dua for him. Suddenly you're the first person to phone the wife, you know your husband passed away. But hold on. The husband passed away, this method, this procedure, not anyone phones and says, you know your husband passed away. She's not even aware of what's happening. Someone has to go, close family member, in which situation she is, talk to her, calm her down. She mustn't be restless and slowly break information. Sometimes we have to learn this, you know, because that FOMO, you know, we want to be the first to do things. I want to be the first to send the message. I want to be the first to know. Why first on everything? Then we break the usul and the etiquette of sunnah. When we want to be the first to do things. This procedure, al-anatu min Allah, composure, calculate yourself before any action is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ajala, haste is from shaitan. Allah give us the tawfiq inshaAllah. Secret quality. But it's technology that's making us like that. Like, you know, you want to be the first to do everything. And someone tells you something, when you got the message, no, shukar, I got it a little bit earlier than that. So what if you got it earlier? Now we have to prove that. Anyway, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Ubay bin Ka'b, hold the secret. By Wednesday, they were at Dhul Hulayfa. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent Anas and Mu'nis radiallahu anhuma, the two sons of Fadala. Just have a look at the army and come back. So they went, they had a look at what's happening, and they come back with information. Then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sends Hubab ibn al-Mundhir radiallahu anhu. Hubab, you will ascertain the number of kuffar. So he goes, he sees, he comes back, he says, Ya Rasul, approximately 1,000. Now it's an art now to say how many people. I mean, to guess, anyone can guess. You know, to take out a number from the back pocket, we all can say it. But Nabi Sam wanted a very close estimate of what's this figure. So that number came to approximately 1,000. Hubab ibn al-Mundhir radiallahu anhu comes back, he says, Ya Rasul, this is the situation on the ground. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, listen, O Hubab, this is top secret. Don't ever divulge this number to anyone. Not even a person. Meaning not even harfan you should tell anyone. La tadhkur min sha'nihim harfan. I don't want a word to go out about this. No one should know about it. And remember, if you've got a very, very important secret in today's time, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Istainu ala qada'i hajatikum bil kitman. If you want to see fruition, success in your endeavors, then hold the secret to yourself. Don't tell anyone, and don't tell him, listen, you're my best friend, I'm telling you. Well, if it becomes common news and talk of town, there's none to blame but yourself. Because he's also got a best friend, and he's also got a best friend. And suddenly the whole link is that the whole town got best friends, and then there's no secret left. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi says, certain times you have to keep a secret. Well, this was Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and they kept that the secret of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Allahumma bika ajul wa bika asul. Hasbun Allah. It's a huge number, but Allah is sufficient for us, inshallah. 3,000 fully equipped. Allah is sufficient for us. And that's important, a lesson in passing for us, that sometimes overwhelming information, sometimes it's not even true, unverified facts about what's happening on the ground, instill fear within us. Now we heard of a certain army and a certain country, their wealth, their financial status and muscle and how much they got in artillery. We say, where we stand a chance? Na'udhu billah. Anyone wants to come, hasbunallah, come with your whole army, come with the whole world. My one Allah is sufficient for me. Hasbunallah. That's the yaqeen we need to learn. When we read too much, example, a person is sick. Doctor told him, "By this is your diagnosis. Inshallah, you make dua, we'll do what we need to do with dawa, Allah will give shifa." Now this person goes and reads it up, subhanallah. Now that puts him down. And now day of the operation and theater, he's sick, can't take him in. He's down, he read about the sickness. When you read about it, it's more scary than what it is. Sometimes best just leave it. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah who has given the sickness will give the cure also, inshallah. Have yaqeen in Allah. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, hasbunallah, inshallah. The next day, Nabi sallam, Thursday. Now these people come even closer, kufar. They're in very close to Uhud, name of a place called Ainain. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, okay, they're very close. There is panic amongst the sahaba radiallahu anhum. People know about it. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam puts everyone's fears to rest. Usayd ibn Hudayr, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiallahu anhu, three sahaba standing guard for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because they're very close. So they're standing guard on that night, Thursday night. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has a vision and a dream on Thursday night. Four things Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees. Number one, in the dream Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees that cows have been slaughtered. Number two, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees that his hand is in armor. Number three, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees that his sword, the tip of it broke. And number four, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees that he's traveling on a conveyance and there's a ram behind him. So four strange things, and the interpretation of which was, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if cows have been slaughtered, there's going to be loss of life in the army of the Muslims in this battle of Uhud. We know what happened with the captives. And this is what's going to happen, unfold now in the battle of Uhud. Number two, the hand of Nabi Sallam being in an armor, interpreted to be, O Rasulullah Sallam, if you stay in Medina Tayyiba, it's your fort, it's your armor. You'll be safe. Number three, was the sword, the tip of which had broken. Hamza radiallahu anhu, a very important person in the family, will pass away. The sword of Allah. Hamza radiallahu anhu, he is going to eventually became his shahada. But some very close member of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to pass away. The ram behind is that the flag of the kuffar will fall in this battle. Victory is for the Muslims. Because the ram is the leader of the flock. And the ram is behind Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which means the Muslims will be victorious in the battle of Uhud. Already Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has this information. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam the next morning holds counsel with the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. What do we do? So there were two opinions. Some Sahaba radiallahu anhu says, Ya Rasulullah, let's stay in Medina Tayyiba and we defend from the city. And the youngsters came and they said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, akhrijna ila adaina. please, let's take us out. Akhrij bina ila a'da'ina. Let's take out of Medina Tayyiba, let's go and fight. Innahum la yarawna qad jubunna wa anhum wa da'ufna. We don't want ever the kuffar to feel that we are cowards and we scared. We will fight them out of Medina Tayyiba, not from comfort zone. Out of the city. Let's go. And we are ready. We won martyrdom. We missed the opportunity of Badr. We can't miss this opportunity of Uhud. We want our martyrdom. So Nabi Sam gave it thought. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhum are insisting. They say, Ya Rasul, please, we have to go out. Eventually Nabi Sam gave in. He says, take it. Okay, we'll go out. Abdullah bin Ubay ibn Salul, Ra'isul Munafiqeen, the chief of the Munafiqun, his suggestion was, let's not leave Medina Munawwara. He's a Munafiq. He said, we'll fight from here. He saw an easy way out of it, so he says, we'll fight from Medina Munawwara. We're not gonna leave. Eventually, Nabi Sam accepted the rai and the opinion of the younger Sahaba, we will be going out. Now, Abdullah ibn Ubay, Ra'isul Munafiqeen, the leader, very upset. Absolutely upset. He said, Nabi Sam, never take our opinion. Who said when Mashwara is made, your opinion has to be taken? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, there is khair in Mashwara, whatever be the decision and the outcome of the leader, not necessarily your opinion. Sometimes we feel bad, you know, there's a Mashwara taking place, but father never listened to me. I mean, I told him something, not even listening to me. So who said your opinion has to be taken? We trust in the aspect of Mashwara, that is Sunnah, and Allah will put khair in it. Eventually, Nabi Sallam Jumu'ah Salah gave khutbah in Karid. Sahaba radiallahu anhum. After the Jumu'ah Salah, Nabi Sallam goes into his rooms. Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhum are next to Nabi Sallam putting on the armor, the turban of Rasulullah Sallam, and declared Rasulullah Sallam ready to embark on this journey. Nabi Sallam leaves after the Asr Salah on the 11th of Shawwal on a Friday with 1,000 Sahaba radiallahu anhum, 1,000 men we would say rather, Two horses, and 100 Sahaba were clad in armor, as compared to 1,000. Two horses compared to 200, 1,000 men compared to 3,000 men. Eventually, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam leaves with Sahaba radiallahu anhum. They come to a place called Shaykhain. Famous place generally on Ziyarah, they take us very quickly past this area of Shaykhain. Now a masjid has been built. Shaykhain means two old people. It was perhaps a couple, a man and a lady, very old Jews that were living in that area. That's why Shaykhain. They were in that area. So Nabi Sam came to this area, traveled very short distance out of Medina Tayyiba, and Nabi Sam now scanned the army. He says, those youngsters, you'll have to leave. Now, Usama bin Zayd, Usama radiallahu anhu, Zayd ibn Thabit, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, Abu Musa al, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, Bara ibn Azibin radiallahu anhu, five sahaba, amongst others, Nabi Sam told them, listen, underage, you don't meet the criteria, please go back to Medina, Tayyiba, go back. So they were sad, but eventually they went. Nabi Sam said, Rafi' bin Khadij, you also go, you're underage. Someone whispered in Nabi Sam's ears, he's a marksman, very good. He's a talented youngster, underage, but he's talent. I think so he'll be an asset to us. Nabi Sam says, okay, Rafi, permission, you can come. You got permission to come. Samura bin Jundub radiallahu anhu heard about it. He went to his father, he's complaining. He says, Ya Ras, my father, talk to Nabi Sam. Nabi Sam gave permission to Rafi bin Khadij, but me, he never gave me permission. And I promise you, if you enter into a duel and a wrestle, I'll floor him and I'll drop him. So the father comes, he says, Ya Rasulullah, my son also is underage, you know. His complaint is that you gave permission to Rafi Waradda and you rejected him. Yet he said, if we have a wrestle match, he's going to floor Rafi, the one who you gave. Nabi Sam says, okay, let's go for it. Call him. So his son comes. Nabi Sam says, Rafi, come. Samura, let's go for it. The two of them are wrestling. Fasara'a Samura Rafi'an. Samura radiallahu anhu, true to his word, he floored his opponent Rafi. Says, Ya Rasul, there's it. You gave permission to the one who's weaker. Wait, hold on, but he's got a skill. Okay, permission for you. Come. It's okay. You also got a skill. Come, you're strong. Subhanallah. I mean, today, where's our skill on the games? That's where our skill is. Put them in front of any screen. Not on the field. Tell them to score a goal on the screen. They'll bicycle, they'll do anything for you. Put them on the field, huffing and puffing, can't run now. So here these youngsters, subhanAllah, ready on the field, battle. They're not looking for excuses to avoid the battle. They are begging Nabi Sam, please allow us, please we have to come. Eventually Nabi Sam allowed. So this exception was to these two Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was sunset, Bilal radiallahu anhu gave the adhan, Maghrib salah is performed, Isha salah was performed. Eventually Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad ibn Maslama, you'll be the leader of this army of 50 people to stand guard on the Muslims who will be sleeping. So the Muslims have a good sleep, in case there is battle tomorrow and we face the enemy. So, with 50 men, he stayed on guard. Tahajjud time, Nabi Sam wakes up. He says, is there anyone who has information and know-how, who knows the route, not the normal route to Uhud? I want to take a route that the kuffar will not even know that we are coming and approaching Uhud. Abu Khaythama says, Ya Rasulullah, I'm aware of that. In the dead of night, in the darkness, I can guide you right to the spot you want to go. So he says, Bismillah, Sahaba, let's go. And eventually, Sahaba radiallahu anhum are traveling, or we would say, the army of 1,000 men, why we choose this year, an army of 1,000 men, is because Nabi Sam comes to an area called Shaut. When he comes to this area, Abdullah ibn Ubay says, Ya Rasulullah, I'm going back. 300 men I'm taking away. But what happened? He says that, Asani wa ata al-wildan. He doesn't take my opinion in the mashwara. He took the opinion of the young boys. And he's going out because of their opinion. I'm very upset. So he took 300 men away. That's why we said the army of 1,000 rather than sahaba, because munafiqoon were there. 300 returned. So now only 700 left. Only 700 are left. What happens? One of the qualities of hypocrisy is that إِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفْ, when a person promises, he goes against his promise. So we did promise it's 20 minutes and not more. 20 minutes is up, we'll have to stop. SubhanAllah, bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma, bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta.